and Zoning Commission meeting of June 12, 2017. The time is now 6:11. On June 5, 2017, the City Council reappointed Commissioners Darrell Rockamore and Will Benson to the Planning and Zoning Commission, so welcome back, everybody. We'll let them know later. So, commission elections are held after yearly appointments, so at this time, I will open nominations for the position of chairman. Are there any nominations?
I nominate Ms. Barbara Teague.
Second.
Thank you. Are there any other nominations? Nobody else wants this job? Okay.
Amen.
All righty, would anybody like to make a motion?
Motion to close nominations?
I've closed them.
Okay.
So, somebody want to make a motion? Do this by affirmation or what? How do we do this?
You've got a motion to nominate, and you can nominate it, so you can need a vote.
Okay, all right. We don't need to do a second, have we?
You've got a second.
Oh, okay, you said that, I didn't hear it. Oh, Will. I'm sorry. Okay, all in favor, please say aye. Why did it say aye? Vote. Go ahead and vote on your, I need a vote.
Motion carried unanimously.
Okay. Thank y'all, appreciate it, yes, I think. So, do we have a motion, a nomination for the position of vice chairman?
Rockamore?
I'll make the motion for Darrell, even though he's not here. He did a good job last time, and he's sitting here tonight.
Okay. All righty. Is there a sec, do I need a motion?
You've got a motion, you're a second.
Technically, do we have a second?
Yes, ma'am, second.
This is so backwards. Okay, all right, please enter your votes. That's what he gets for not being here.
Motion carried unanimously.
It's important to show up for these meetings.
Yep.
Yep.
Surprises, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, all righty. 2.0, public comments, receipt of petitions. At this time, anyone will be allowed to speak on any matter other than personnel matters or matters under litigation for length of time not to exceed 3 minutes. No commission discussion or action may take place on any matter until such matter has been placed on an agenda and posted in accordance with law. Is there anybody who would like to speak other than on, we'll have public hearings during the other issues? Let's see. Everybody speak other than all those? Okay. Okay, moving on. Okay, staff, are there any reports or announcements to be heard?
Yes. As you just mentioned, last city council, Commissioner Rockamore and Benson were reappointed until June of 2020, so you're on the hook for another 3 years. I also did want to make a few introductions. First introduction is Wesley Stoles. I'm sorry. He started today as our assistant city engineer. He comes from the Dallas area as a engineering consultant, and he went to the great Texas A&M University. And then also our summer intern, Ashley Yoder. She is a student at Barry Hardin Baylor, a business student, and she's going to be with us for another 7 weeks. 7 weeks, but you're not counting, right? I also want to update you on what happened at the to the recent zoning cases that you guys saw last month. Lefty's Auto Crafters, the rezoning did from single-family 6 to commercial, did not pass at City Council on May 15th. So I just wanted to report that back to you. And the final announcement I had is we mentioned at the last meeting that we were looking for feedback on the staff reports. I don't know if you had an opportunity to collect your comments based on some of the standard formats that we give you on our staff reports, and wanted to see if we could get some comments either at this meeting or if you want to send us, you know, via email or whatnot, if you've even thought about it. So I want to kind of open it up to see if you have anything to suggest.
You may
or we can talk about it next
could
month.
Could we send that to you via email?
Either that, or would you prefer to send it via email, or do you want to talk about next month?
Doesn't bother me.
How about send it to me via email? If I don't get anything, we'll bring it up again next month.
That'd be perfect. Thank you.
So, that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Consideration to approve the minutes of the regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of May 11th, 2017. Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Dunnigan. Is there any discussion or corrections to the minutes? All right. Please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. New business. 5.1, receipt of capital project comments and recommendations from the Planning and Zoning Commission for city manager consideration regarding budget of five-year CIP 2018 to 2022. Is there a motion to approve?
This is not an action item.
I was going to say.
At this time, city staff would like to reach out to the commission and see if you have any comments or recommendations based on the projects that we presented during the CPAC meeting. The CPAC group recommended to approve the projects as they were presented. Just as a point of information, at this point in time, we're seeking official recommendation from the P&Z.
Anybody have anything else that you've thought about since then?
Looks good.
No? We're good. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. 5.2, consideration to approve preliminary plat of Willow Creek Industrial Park Section 1 being a subdivision of 152.2779 acres, 6,633,225 square feet in the C. Goodrich Survey. Abstract number 305, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have a report?
Good evening. The first plat on the agenda this evening is Willow Creek Industrial Park Section 1 preliminary plat. It is north and south of Old Humble Road and west of 249. It's located in the city's ETJ. Five reserves are being created, and it's a total acreage of 152.2779 acres. This is the copy of the plat presented to the city for approval. Community Development recommends approval with the following contingencies. It's a long list.
Yep.
Submit HCID 17 board action to abandon temporary easements. Fix all building lines to comply with Chapter 10 of the City of Tomball Code of Ordinances. Add a note for the missing easement referenced Q on the title report. Add all City of Tomball standard notes. Show square footage with two digits to the right of the decimal point. Show FEMA boundaries, contours, and existing site improvements. Add the City of Tomball's Planning and Zoning Commission signature block. Add lien holder signature block as shown on the title report. Fix typos and correct mislabeled notes. And the plat is located in the Tomball ETJ, so Harris County approval is still required.
That's a long list.
Long list.
Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
I move to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Benson. Is there a second?
I second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Dunnigan. Is there any discussion or questions? Seeing none, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Okay, thank you. 5.3, consideration to approve preliminary plat of Willow Creek Industrial Park Section 2, being a subdivision of 211.6171 acres of land in the C. Goodrich Survey, abstract number 305, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have a report, please?
The next plat on the agenda is Willow Creek Industrial Park Section 2 preliminary plat. It's located west of 249 and near Old Humble Road. It's located in the city's ETJ. Three reserves are being created, and it's a total acreage of 211.6171 acres. This is a copy of the plat that's been submitted to the city for approval. And Community Development recommends approval with the following contingencies. submit HCID 17's board action to abandon temporary easements, label Neighbors Parkway, pay correct fees, submit original tax certificates from Harris County and Tomball ISD, and as this plat is located in the ETJ, it must also be approved by the county.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
Motion to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
I second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Dunnigan. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
5.4, consideration to approve preliminary plat of Harris County Improvement District number 17, Water Plant number 1, being a subdivision of 5.0118 acres of land in the C. Goodrich Survey, abstract number 305, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have a report, please?
The next plat on the agenda is Harris County Improvement District number 17, Water Plant number 1, preliminary plat. It is north of Old Humble Road and west of 249, located in the city's ETJ. Two reserves are being created with a total acreage of 5.0118 acres. This is a copy of the plat that was submitted to the city for approval. And Community Development recommends approval with the following contingencies. Submit HCID 17 board action to abandon temporary easements. Submit original tax certificates from Harris County and Tomball ISD. Submit utility notification letters. Add a 10-foot City of Tomball utility easement with no other encumbrances along the southern property line and adjacent to Neighbors Parkway. Fix typos. And as this plat is located in the ETJ, it must also be approved by the county.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
I move to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Benson. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there any discussion or question?
I've got a question. I thought most of the easements were 15-foot. This is only a 10-foot? Mm-hmm.
It's just a water easement out there. So typically, depending on what kind of utilities are out there and how big the right-of-way might be, we might ask up to 20 feet. That's but because this is only water at this time, we only need a 10-foot easement.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Seeing none, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. 5.5, consideration to approve preliminary plat of Drake Casa, being a subdivision of land containing 0.5002 acres, 21,790.51 square feet of land in the Joseph House Survey, A34, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have a report, please?
The next plat is Drake Casa, a preliminary plat. It's located on Martins Road, just north of Zion. It's zoned SF9. One lot is being created with a total acreage of 0.5002 acres. This is a copy of the plat that's been submitted to the city for approval. And Community Development recommends approval with the following contingencies. Provide original tax certificates from the county and Tomball ISD and to fix typos.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
I'll make the motion to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Dunnigan. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there any discussion or questions? All right, seeing none, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. 5.6, consideration to approve final plat of Lot 2A and Lot 2B, Block 1, Park Manor of Tomball, replat number 1, 2.4808 acres, 108,064 square feet, being a replat of Lot 2, Block 1, Park Manor of Tomball, film code number 617004, MRHCT. City of Tomball, Harris County, Texas, situated in the William Hurd Survey, abstract number 378. Staff, could we have a report, please?
The final plat on the agenda tonight is Lot 2A and Lot 2B, Block 1, Park Manor of Tomball, replat number 1, final plat. It's located southwest corner of Medical Complex and School Street. It's currently zoned ag. Two lots are being created with a total acreage of 2.4808 acres. This is a copy of the plat that's been submitted to the city for approval. And Community Development recommends approval with the following contingencies. Submit a title report that includes the new lot to be. Submit utility notification letters. Show square footage, 2 digits to the right of the decimal point. Add signature blocks for the owner and lien holder of lot to be. And fix typos.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve with contingencies?
Move to approve with contingencies.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Benson. Is there any discussion or questions? Hearing none, please enter your vote now.
Motion carries unanimously.
Okay. 5.7, consideration to approve zoning case P17-0057, request by Renee Rodriguez to amend Chapter 50 zoning of the Tomball Code of Ordinances by rezoning approximately 6.5 acres of land from the commercial district to the single family 6 district, and approximately 95.7 acres of land from the agricultural district to the single family 6 district. The properties are legally described as tracts 198, 202, and 206 Tomball Outlots, tracts 4L21 and 22 Abstract 632, CN Plot, and a 63.11 acre, 2,749,160 square feet parcel located in the Claude N. Plot, Survey Abstract Number 632, Harris County, Texas, out of the residue of a called 111.5632 acre tract conveyed to Kevin Eric Graham by warranty deed recorded under clerk's file number X648265 of the official public records of Harris County, Texas, OPRHCT, generally located on the south side of Tice Lane at Commercial Park Road and the north side of Holdreth Road between SH249 and Cherry Street. Staff, could we have a presentation, please?
Thank you, Commission, and good evening. This is an aerial image showing the property outlined in red. It's a little over 100 acres, again, with frontage on Tice Lane and Holdreth. This is an image of the subject site with the frontage on Tice. It's currently undeveloped, and this is a view from Holdreth. Just to give you some background, we met with the applicant and other representatives in April of this year. We were discussing a single-family development on approximately 6,000 square foot lots. As the property is not zoned for that, we did let the applicant know that a rezoning case would be required. There are multiple zoning districts in the area. The site itself is zoned ag, with a small portion being zoned commercial towards the south end. Property to the north is zoned ag and light industrial. Property to the east is zoned ag. Property to the west is zoned commercial and plan development 8, which is a mixed-use development. And property to the south, on the south side of Holdreth, is outside of our city limits. The comprehensive plan future land use map designates the property as medium-density residential. This typically includes lots ranging from 6,000 to 20,000 square feet. So this request is in conformance with the future land use map. A small portion of the southern end, the portion that's zoned commercial, is designated as employment office. Property to the north is designated business industrial. Property to the east is also medium density residential with, again, some employment office there on Holdreth. And property to the west is designated as commercial and mixed use. The uses that are permitted in the single family 6 district appear to be appropriate with the immediate area. There's a similar residential development in there, as well as multiple commercial uses. We believe that the proposed development will help create a balance between employment and residential land uses in the area and the city as a whole. There are adequate utilities available for this property. They will obviously have to be extended at the developer's expense. And Craig is going to discuss traffic and drainage here in a little bit. We also reached out to Tomball ISD and were informed that they are able to accommodate the anticipated influx of students that would come with this development. As far as zoning goes, there's very little vacant land zoned single-family 6, especially to accommodate a development of this size. As far as the comprehensive plan goes, we do believe that it meets many of the goals of the comprehensive plan, including having a higher, a wide variety of housing products in the city, having higher density residential developments adjacent or in close proximity to high-capacity roadways, for instance, Tice, Business 249, Holder Reed, South Cherry. These are our major thoroughfares that this residential development would have quick access to. This project would also be across the street from a city park, Tice Attaway Park, which would encourage pedestrian linkage to public facilities, which is also a goal of the comprehensive plan. I'm going to turn it over to Craig. He's going to talk about the floodplain map, drainage, and traffic.
So I wanted to address a few issues that we received in regards to the public comment forms that you have in front of you. First, I want to talk about drainage. The site is adjacent to the M121 channel, which we talked about during the CIP meeting. That channel, once completed, will be extending down to a basin along Willow Creek. So regional detention for this property will be available, and the site has not been designed yet, but it will have to be designed to drain directly into that channel, which would then feed down to the detention basin. As you can see by the blue shadings at the southern end of the property, much of the property on the south end is within the floodplain. The dark blue is the 1% annual chance, or the 100-year floodplain. The lighter shade is the 500-year, or the 0.2%. I did want to reiterate, when at the time that these development plans are prepared and reviewed by city staff, they will need to meet all of our floodplain ordinances. If there's any fill in any of those areas, to build up the site, they would have to do an offsetting cut of 1:1. So if you bring in, let's say, 1,000 cubic yards of dirt to build up, say, a pad or for a road, they would have to do the equivalent amount, at least the equivalent amount of cut, so that the floodplain storage in that area is not compromised. Also, to touch on a few of our other major floodplain requirements, any development needs to demonstrate that there's no rise in the base flood elevation, so this boundary here cannot change. And if there's any structures that are proposed within that dark blue boundary, they would have to be elevated 18 inches above that base flood elevation where it's determined. The other thing I wanted to mention was traffic. Amelia touched on it a little bit. Access to the property will be off of Tice Lane and Holdreth Road. They are both arterial streets. I also want to point out that School Street, it's that line in the middle there, is not yet developed, but it's on our major thoroughfare plan. So at some point, that road will have to be extended through there to help disperse traffic, north and south through that development. At the time of development, there will be a requirement for a traffic impact analysis, and that study will determine if there's any necessary off-site improvements needed, such as turn lanes, any signalization, any additional stop signs, so any impact of the additional cars that are going to be addressed or will be addressed in that study. Once again, I do want to reiterate the fact that it does front on two arterials. Those roads are ultimately designed, will be designed to accommodate traffic at the time that those need to be widened. Also, we did receive some concerns about a possible in-city mud. This is a property that we did talk about an in-city mud months ago. That has not yet moved forward. I'm not sure if it is going to move forward, but we did receive a comment from a form from someone in the Pine Meadow subdivision being concerned that the in-city mud would possibly take over their system or their subdivision. That is truly not the case. That Pine Meadow subdivision is served by city water, sewer, and gas, and it will never be part of mud. So I just wanted to address all those issues, and I'm sure we'll talk about much more detail during public comment.
Okay. Just to finish up here, I think we received a total of 13 public comment forms. We were getting them pretty last minute, but I think that's the count that we're up to. And after reviewing the case and all the materials submitted, we do recommend approval. We believe it's generally appropriate with the surrounding land uses. It's in conformance with the future land use map. It meets many of the goals of the comprehensive plan, and it is generally appropriate with the surrounding zoning districts. And the applicant is here and has prepared a presentation.
Okay, thank you. Will the applicant please come forward to present the case, state your name and address for the record?
Good Good evening. Thanks for allowing us to make this presentation. My name is Greg McKenzie. I'm Vice President with Ashton Woods Homes and Starlight Homes. This is Alan McKee with LJA Engineering, who will address the more technical issues that may come before you tonight.
Could you state your address, please?
Our office is at 10110 West Sam Houston Parkway North, Suite A100, Houston, Texas, 77064.
Thank you.
I've been, just a little introduction, I've been developing property in the Texas area for over 35 years. Developed numerous communities, I actually say tens of thousands of lots over my career. Tomball's a little personal to me. I'm not a resident of the city, but I have a Tomball address. I've lived in the area for 22 years. Both of my sons graduated from Tomball High School, played sports, Little League, everything in this community. My wife and I consider Tomball our home. So, you know, I take this one with a little bit more pride and a little bit more conscientious than some of the deals I've done in other markets. I'm a little bit informal, but I can't wear a suit today. I just had my wing repaired here at the Tomball Orthopedic Center. So, I am a member, or consider myself a member of your community. I think somebody gave us a clicker here. So let me talk a little bit about, do I hit the forward button?
Yes.
There we go. Talk a little bit about our company. Ashton Woods Homes was founded in 1989 by the Great Gulf Group, which is a company out of Toronto, Canada. We've built in the Houston area since about 1991. We are the third largest privately owned home building company in the United States. We are number 19 overall based on Builder Magazine's Builder 100 list, which is published on an annual basis. So, you know, we are a national, major national builder. You know, we have 786 employees, and we've helped over 35,000 families achieve the dream of home ownership. We're a builder you can trust. We have been repeatedly voted as one of the most trusted builders in America by an independent agency called Life Story Research, who's conducted this study for a number of years. We actually won the award a couple of years, and then we've been one of the few builders that have ranked in the top 10 every year since they've started doing the study. That study is based on our homeowners as well as the communities in which we do business and the way we conduct our business. Where we build. We're a Sun Belt builder. We build across basically the south part of the United States. Our corporate headquarters is in Atlanta, Georgia. We build in Florida. We build in both North and South Carolina. Four major markets in Texas: Austin, Dallas, San Antonio, and the Houston market areas, as well as the Phoenix market area. This particular community is going to be branded as one of our Starlight Homes communities. That's a new venture we've started out on about a year ago, It is a brand, it's a entity that is going under the name of Starlight as opposed to Ashton Woods. Simple reason for that is we've separated the Ashton Woods label. That's kind of our top-end production line. This is entry-level or starter home production-oriented housing, which fits in with the type of lot and the type of community we wish to develop here. Some of the product, and this is actually from Atlanta, it'll have to get a little bit of a facelift to kind of conform to the Texas type of product that you typically see. But that's a sample of some of the homes that we're currently building in the Atlanta marketplace. Home ranges that we propose, and again, this is a conceptual project, so we're still fine-tuning a lot of things, subject to obviously, you know, moving forward after tonight's discussion. 1,200 to 2,600 square feet is kind of what's envisioned. You know, that's typically the range. Could sway a little bit one way or the other, but mostly I would assume upward, not downward. That's the type of product we envision for this neighborhood. It does fit in with what's nearby in the Pine Meadows community. We've studied that community. The square footage is I think go from 1,200 to up to 3,000 in that neighborhood. So, you know, it does, you know, reflect similarly to that type of product line. I'll let Alan give some of the details about the zoning and what we're dealing with there.
Hi. Alan McKee with LJA Engineering, 2929 Briar Park, Suite 600, Houston, 77042. I'm just going to hit some of the, a few more of the details. I think most of this has been covered, so I'll go through it quickly, but we're really, we're zoned agricultural, and we're proposing single family SF6. And basically, the main goal is we feel like we are following the city's comprehensive plan, and that's the main justification. This is a layout. It is extremely conceptual. We just drawn something to try to get a handle on where things are. We understand the need for north-south, the school street, north-south conduit, but that's just a concept at this point. Most of this has been hit on 50 by 120, Holder Heath and Tice drainage. We would be part of and assisting in the extension of drainage to the southeast to the regional detention pond. That's really the solution for both this development as well as the area, I think. And y'all are pretty aware of that. We're probably on the order of 375 watts, plus or minus. Just to give you an idea, we'll if we started today and everything goes, you know, we will be here working in the city for, you know, 8 years, probably building, you know, at least. Benefit-wise, which I think everybody's touched on, really we feel like this is really a benefit to the local business park in the area. We're creating home sites for local workforce, as well as rooftops for business demand in the area. Tax base for the city, obviously, and, you know, in that we are consistent with the city's comprehensive plan, things are moving in consistent with the city's vision. And that's all I have. Are there any questions?
Not at this time. We'll call you back up if we have questions. Careful. Thank you.
I got it. Thanks.
Okay, the public hearing on zoning case P17-0057 is now called to order. Let the record show the time is now 6:44 p.m. Is there anyone here that would like to speak regarding this request? You will have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. Do you have anyone signed up? Okay, Dennis, and I think it's Fraske. Would you like to come up to the podium, please?
Yes, my name is, I'm a little hard of hearing. They had the deal down my throat, so give me a little break. Mm-hmm. My name is Dennis Fosky. I'm the HOA president of Pine Meadows Subdivision, and I live at 12815 Pine Meadows Street. Tom Ball, 77375. The young lady here to my left, I've talked to her numerous times over the phone. Biggest concern is that it's called single family dwelling, but the builder is single family dwelling, also low income. So is this low income or is it not low income? So that's one of the biggest questions. The other is, we've asked the city a number of times to take care of the problems in our drainage. There's supposed to be a Thice project with a 4x4, two 4x4 concrete going underneath Thice for the overflow of the water from the retention pond, or retention to new ones. And the one on our east side, or west side, has all the overgrowth and has never been taken care of, cleaned out, or anything. They've got a 12-inch pipe that runs underneath us. Well, now they've put a pump up there to take care of the water when we had the last good rain, and it flooded all down Thies on a South Cherry, down South Cherry, all the way to Holdra. Old man Holdra's family completely flooded from all that rain. So we went ahead and I got a surveyor. It's a 4-foot drop from Thies to Holdra. So if you've been down Telge lately, you'll see all the new homes going to be built, how high they had to build it up from all the flooding. That's what's going to happen. You know, so we've been trying to get them to fix. There's a right-of-way on our south side of our subdivision, and it floods behind there between I can't think of the name of the rancher's land and us. There's a 22-foot easement. Well, that water just stands. It doesn't run off. That hasn't been taken care of. And so we're kind of really apprehensive about any of these projects being taken care of, traffic. You have the subdivision that's planned on being built right there by St. Anne's Catholic Church between Cherry Meadows and St. Anne's. There's a proposal to build single-family dwelling homes there. In one single day, in 2 hours, we had 51 cars drive through our subdivision cutting through. Okay, we only have 144 homes. And so what's going to happen when they start building more homes and the traffic and stuff, it's a two-lane on Holdra, two-lane on South Cherry, and two-lane on Dykes. That's all it is. So if you build homes, where's all this traffic going to go? We have a traffic problem now with people coming through our neighborhood. We have no speed signs. I've talked to David a number of times to get speed signs, watch for children signs, and no parking because the streets are so narrow. People park at night. I drive a school bus for Tomball also. I can't get school bus through them. They're on my own neighborhood sometimes. I can't get the police to write a ticket because there is no signs up there. It says no parking from, say, 12 to 6. You know, I'm talking about a.m. Mm-hmm. But a lot of things that we have asked for, we haven't even gotten yet. Mm-hmm. And we've been there now for a number of years. So our biggest problem is we're to approve or try to agree with all of this, but we haven't even been taking care of ourselves.
Okay, thank you. Your time is up now. Okay. Thank you for yours. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? Please come up, state your name and address for the record.
Bill Sumner, 12321 Zion Road, Tomball, Texas, 77375. I didn't sign up for this because I really didn't read this good enough, but I take kind of exception with some of the things the city planner said. I've been in Tomball since 1986. My plant is on Holdereth Road. Talking about those roads being able to handle that traffic, they need to get in the real world. They're two-lane roads. You're talking about 375 homes. That's roughly 1,000 cars in the morning, 1,000 cars in the evening. Where are all those cars going to go? Wake up here, city. Number two, drainage. Let's talk about 249 Holdereth Road. Every time it rains, it floods down there. You can't get out. So what are we going to do there? I take exception with that. I take exception with that whole property floods. How are they going to stop it? I don't care about the M18, M21. They're not built. So I just have a problem with some of that. And okay. And then the builder talks about we've helped 35,000 families. What they've done is they've flooded some other people. My property, which is on the north side of Tomball, when I bought it, was zoned in the 100-year floodplain. Now, because of the willy-nilly building that's been allowed, I was in the 500-year floodplain, I'm sorry. Now I'm in the 100-year floodplain, and my property, every time it rains, Bogues Gully backs up and floods the property. So I'm just saying, be real careful. Infrastructure, what you can do for flooding, and all the people that would be affected. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? If so, please come up, state your name and address for the record. Okay. Hearing none. The public hearing is now closed. The time is now 6:51. May I have a motion to approve zoning case P17-005-7? We can't talk until we make a motion.
I know that. I'll make the motion to approve it.
Thank you, Commissioner Dunning. Is there a second?
Second.
Who talked first? Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. All right, is there any discussion?
This is my personal opinion. I'm worried about putting more rooftops until we get the infrastructure put in place. I know we talked about it all day today about this in our first meeting, but I'm apprehensive too about rooftops on top of rooftops without getting the infrastructure in place. I see it happening more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the gentlemen probably have a great plan in place, but is Tomball ready to keep growing this? You talk to the high school. I know they can handle it because a lot of people are moving out because of these reasons. Everybody's getting flooded. Every time we turn around, somebody else gets flooded that wasn't flooded 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I don't have any questions. I just want to make a statement.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you cannot speak since the public hearing is closed. I apologize.
I know I can't, but
I'm trying. I know, and I've been in your position.
And here's I had asked the question in the CIP process meeting about that exact intersection and
yeah,
some of how that
I did
works.
Too.
Can I get maybe from staff sort of how does that all play into the CIP with the developer paying the drainage impact fees? Does that jumpstart some of this construction of the ponds, or give me some?
Yeah, I can address that. As David mentioned at our CIP meeting before this, we are in the final stages of property acquisition, and to do the next stages that we just bought into a mitigation bank for the wetlands. That has been the holdup to the south of Tice, was getting the wetlands mitigation addressed. But the project had stalled. We will admit it had stalled while we got through some of the environmental issues, but those have since worked out. And the property acquisition to the south of Holdereth also caused the project to stall. Those have been addressed or in the works, so I do see this channel. Do we have a timeline of its completion?
The design drawings for both sections, and you know we talked about we were going to divide up the northern part, what's left,
right,
and then the southern part into two projects to kind of speed up the process. The first bid packet that we're putting together is to come across Tice with the boxes, get across where the Pine Meadows subdivision is, mm-hmm, get that all cleaned up, get that cut to the correct width, because that section was not built by the city. It was actually built by the developer that
right,
did Pine Meadows.
Right.
Because they forewent the detention that was needed for that subdivision,
mm-hmm,
to build the channel.
Right.
Either that or pay the impact fee. So that's how a lot of the channel got built, and then there were pieces missing in between. It wasn't the city that did that. That's how development was developing it. But now the next plan is to get that done, get it up to where we had the wetlands. We do have a plan moving forward for the wetlands to get that done, but it's going to take time to get through the core.
Right.
So while that's being constructed, we can get the permit from the Corps and then continue on south of Holdereth into the detention basin. So that's kind of our plan. The time frame, we should see final plans for that first bid packet for Tice within the next month or two, and then go to bid and get that going under construction.
Okay, discuss transportation then. Let's talk about, because I
okay,
drive down those roads all the time,
sure,
and there's always traffic on Cherry, and that was my concern about even making the medical complex,
mm-hmm,
drive is Cherry. Because it's a two-lane road, 30 miles an hour speed limit?
No, it's, I believe it's 45.
No, it's not 45.
No,
it's
45. No,
I guarantee it's not 45. I can show you some reasons why I know it's not 45.
On the south end, I believe it is.
It's 30 up by the Catholic.
Yes.
30, 40. 40 on the south end and 30. Yes,
that's what I figured. It's 30 to 40. Yeah.
Okay. Now, just keep in mind that Cherry and Holdereth are both county roads.
Right.
I know that the county has plans to put in a traffic signal at Holdereth and Cherry, and then they are working on plans because they have discussed with us with our project going across with the channel M121 of doing and widening Holdereth from 249 down to Husband Corbel. That time frame, I don't know. I know that the traffic signal was slated to be done quickly, but as now since they're going to be doing that other widening, apparently that's not going to be done yet until they get and do it with the widening of the Holdereth.
Are you talking about the other end down by the industrial park?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's holding up the rest of it?
No. That there was a traffic signal at
right.
Cherry.
Uh-huh.
As well, because they're doing a traffic signal at Husband Corbel and Holdereth.
Right. So when are they going to do the one on Cherry?
That's what I don't know, because okay. they had talked to us about moving utilities and things like that for the traffic signal. So they have since said they're going to wait until they look at doing the rest of the widening.
Okay. One other concern that was asked was 249 and Holdereth. You know how bad that goes under every time mm-hmm. it rains and all. So do you see any anticipation of that being addressed at any time?
Yes, when they do the road widening, they're going to try to address that. What needs to happen is Holdereth has to be elevated. They have to raise that because it's all floodplain.
Right.
That whole corridor right there, it's all floodplain. There is no detention. There is no nothing that you can put in there to accommodate that. So the roadway has to be elevated. So that's part of the, in fact, our design drawings that we're looking at now to get across Holdereth with our drainage channel and those boxes, we are looking at elevating Holdereth at that section and talking to the county.
Under.
So that way, later when they come in, mm-hmm. they tie in and it works. So definitely, we are talking about large, large projects, and it does take an enormous amount of time and money to do them. And then especially when you deal with multiple entities, that's where you run into a lot of the delays.
Yeah, I've seen that, because after talking to Craig last week, I talked to the county, and there's a lot of plans that are not on their drawing board for
right.
the next 10 years.
Right.
So is there any way to, I know we did the CPAC, and we've already dealt with that issue of the projects and thing. Is there anything that we can do to help make this move a little quicker?
Doing our pieces definitely does put the pressure on others to do their portions.
So
I think that definitely, I mean, 121, it's a matter of us just getting it done.
So
I know that it's been on the books for quite a long time.
Yes, it has.
The funding is in place.
20 years.
Once we get this permit with the court settled, and another hang up was property acquisition, that's now complete.
Okay.
So it is moving forward.
So that'll help move it and take care of Pine Meadows issues.
Okay. Will the dollars from that impact fee go to help construct this? Is that right?
Yeah, the impact fee, I can't recall what it is per acre, but they've got to pay a per acre amount of the development that goes into the drainage impact fee fund for that basin, yes.
So the development will help make the drainage improvements. The dollars that come in from that development help make that project,
help fund that channel, yes.
Help widen it, make it better, improve the drainage of the general area.
Yes.
Okay.
But while they're beginning their process and getting through all this, we're already moving forward with the M121 at Tice Lane. So
yes.
That will already, that's
absolutely
a process already. Do you have any clue when you might start actually doing work?
Well, like I said, we anticipate getting that first section for Tice, getting across there within the next 2 months till we can go to bid.
Perfect. Okay. Does anybody else have any other questions?
So when you raise Holdereth to prevent it from flooding, where does that water go?
It's going to be conveyed into M500.
Right.
Is the detention basin.
That's the one south of Holdereth.
Now,
yes.
by these projects doesn't mean those properties that are in the floodplain won't ever flood.
Yes.
They're in the floodplain.
Yeah.
It's conveying the property, I mean, the water appropriately. And that's what the purpose is.
So when you raise that part of Holder Reef?
We try not to have water going over Holder Reef every time it rains.
Okay.
At the time that's designed, they'll have to address the floodplain related issues, such as possibly restudying that area, but to ensure that there is no rise in the floodplain there. So if there's fill, as I mentioned earlier, they're mitigating cut, or there's an option to restudy the floodplain based on that data, because it's a monumental study that would have to be done, as it is a monumental project to widen that road.
Right.
But as David mentioned, if we do raise that one portion there, we would look at the mitigating effects of that.
Water does what water does, and it's been there for a long time, and it's going to keep coming there. So anybody that builds a house there knows that the water's coming.
And keep in mind that water is not just coming from Tomball.
It's coming from Willow Creek.
It's a humongous basin. So you've got to think of all the upstream areas. So even if you solve all the Tomball problems, you still have all the other problems to the west.
Yes.
Contributing to that.
Yes. Excellent point. Thank you.
It's a case of all the different pieces of the different projects we have going on right now, like up there at 2920. And then when we do the things on the other side behind Stripes over there, or I think that's Stripes.
That's right.
All those different projects will help control maybe some
absolutely
of the Willow Creek.
Beth mentioned earlier about M124 that Hector
right
and TxDOT's going to be doing. That is going to address the drainage on the west
side
of the tower, and there's going to be a detention basin out there. Once again, it's a regional problem, but every little bit helps. There will be some improvements, but you will not see the floodplain go away because of that one project,
right,
because Willow Creek is so big.
So what's the capacity of M500? I don't remember. It's pretty big.
Volume. Don't know off the top of my head.
Okay. I know that when that was put in, the idea was to take the water off of Holdreth and everything, you know, flowing south. It's just taking a long time to get there.
And that's the best management in order to deal with stormwater management is to have regional systems. When you have small detention ponds with every development, they
right
tend to work against one another. When you have a plan like a massive channel like M121 and a basin that's managed a whole area, those are much more effective with dealing with stormwater runoff.
Because I, like everybody else, I'm very tired of that 249 holders.
Right.
Thank you. But thank you. Anybody else have any other questions, staff? All righty. Okay. Does anybody have any questions of anyone else? Okay. Seeing no more questions, please enter your votes now.
Motion carries. 3 votes aye, 1 vote nay.
Mm-hmm. 5.8, consideration to approve zoning case P17-0059. Request by Hogan Crum LLC for a conditional use permit to operate a reception venue on approximately 2.5 acres, legally described as part of tracks 18, 24, 30, and 36, and track B, abandoned part of Stasney Road. Tomball Outlaws, generally located on the north side of East Huffsmith Road at Lovett Street, and is zoned single family 20 estate district. Staff, could we have a presentation,
Chairman,
please?
I've got a recluse myself in this
all
one.
Right. I want to note in the records that Commissioner Dunnigan accused himself. Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Ready?
Ready. This is an image of the subject site. It's highlighted in red. It is currently undeveloped. This is an image of the subject site. This should give you some background. We met with the owner and a potential developer back in February of this year. We discussed a proposed reception venue. We told the applicant that a majority of the property is zoned commercial, and therefore a reception venue is allowed by right. However, the northern 2 to 2.5 acres is zoned single family 20 estate, which a conditional use permit is required. So this is kind of what I was talking about. Most of the property here, you can see it's zoned commercial. where this blue circle is what we're discussing tonight. We can't put any conditions on this portion of it zoned commercial. Anything developed in this commercial zoning district will have to meet our commercial zoning district standards. However, tonight, as far as what we're voting for and any conditions that we put on it, we are only talking about this top 2 to 2.5 acres. Other properties, zoning districts in the area are single family 20, commercial, and single family 9 on the south side of East Huffsmith. The future land use map designates the property and a lot of the surrounding properties as rural residential with medium density residential on the south side of East Huffsmith. I wanted to bring up that back in December of 2015, an ordinance was adopted adding a reception venue land use to our land use matrix. We also permitted it by right in light industrial, commercial, general retail, and old town and mixed use districts, and allowed it with a conditional use permit in office, ag, and SF20. So there are certain areas that zone single family 20 that these would be allowed in. We do believe that this is one of those areas that would be okay as it's zoned single family 20. We believe it's a good area because there's large lot residences in the residential land uses in the area, as well as a few commercial land uses. I did also want to mention that Tomball does have ordinances already in place to protect those adjacent residential land uses, such as landscape buffers, screening requirements, light shielding, and noise and nuisance ordinances. I know that was a big concern. This is the concept plan that was submitted to the city. As you can see, this is East Huffsmith here. They're proposing a long entry driveway with some parking. This, I believe, is a chapel and a large, I believe, two-story barn here with a bride suite and a groom suite. And what we did is we overlaid our zoning district and kind of superimposed the concept plan with it. So again, we are only talking about this northern portion. Everything down here, again, will have to be developed to commercial district standards, but is allowed by right without planning and zoning or city council approval. I believe we received 3 public comment forms as of today. We do recommend approval. However, we do have some conditions, and as you know, the commission can use these conditions, add more conditions. One of them is landscape buffers. So when a non-residential land use abuts residential land uses, a 10-foot landscape buffer is required. We are proposing that a minimum of a 20-foot landscape buffer be required. And in those landscape buffers, we are requiring a minimum of 5 large trees planted along each property line. So that's a total of 15 trees being planted on that back 2 to 2.5 acres. Also, again, when a non-residential land use is developed that's adjacent to residential developments, and a minimum of 6-foot opaque screening wall is required. We are requiring a 8-foot opaque screening wall, again, on that back 2 to 2.5 acres. The applicant is here to address the board, if you'd like to come forward.
All right, if you could please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, I'm Michael Hogan, 23 McConnell Place Lane, Houston, Texas, 77070. I was in the car wash business for 34 years, and I retired about 3 years ago, and my daughter was a event planner for a company, and so the idea came up to start a wedding venue. So this is our idea. We looked for a property for a long time. I was the vice president of Mr. Car Wash Acquisition, so I'm very aware of neighbors. We acquired over 100 car washes, so I know how new companies coming in close to neighbors is a very sensitive thing. So I'm very willing to work with the neighbors around there. It's going to be a 5-star facility. It's a wedding barn, 10,000 square feet, a wedding chapel that's 4,000 square feet with 2,000 square feet cottages for the men and women. It's all going to be white with the golf course grass all around the property. We're trying to make it as pretty as possible. And I'm here to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. The public hearing on zoning case P17-0059 is now called to order. Let the record show the time is now 7:11. Is there anyone here who would like to speak regarding this request? You'll have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. Anybody?
I have two.
Okay. Would a Paul Garcia please come up?
Hello, my name is Paul Garcia. I currently reside at 13803 Sherburn Lane in Cypress, Texas. My wife and I purchased a piece of 3-acre piece of property at 12211 Zion on September 9th, 2016 to build our dream home. This now has come into play. We bought it because it's a great piece of property, quiet. We've always wanted to move here. And we knew we had this residential buffer zone, so between our property and the commercial property. That being said, I personally do not believe it's in the best interest to allow them to build in this residential area for various reasons. One being the noise, possible noise pollution with this venue, possibly because it is going to be beautiful, spilling over to outside, potentially having a gazebo, parties outside, the music, that sort of thing. I understand with the trees and the wall, but if you have 150 to 400 people, it's like a small concert. That music's going to be pouring over. That being said, with that also, with all those people on Thursday through Sunday, there's going to be a lot of noise pollution coupled with delivery trucks coming the rest of the week delivering different products and things for the parties. That also with privacy issue. We're right there. That property butts up right next to my property. And we're building a very nice home there. And I don't really want to look into a parking lot and really particularly be able to see a wall right there, even though that's better than nothing. I understand that. That being said, the way this can be accomplished is shorten the driveway a little bit and shift it forward. Even if worst case scenario, I have about an acre buffer, I can live with that. When I'm looking out my back door, sitting there at the pool, I'm not looking at a giant wall an acre away from me. So if worst case scenario, I could get that, I'd be happy with that. I think we can make this a win-win situation. Thank you.
Thank you. William Sumner, would you like to come up, please? Oh.
Bill Sumner, 12321 Zion Road, Tomball, 77375. I kind of echo what Mr. Garcia said. I feel like it's your job to protect the citizens of Tomball, and that your job is to have judicial use of the land in Tomball. We only have a certain amount here. My understanding, years and years ago, before most of you all probably even lived in Tomball, when we did this zoning, it was originally done for homes to be on the north side, residential areas, and the south side was going to be the business side. So now all of a sudden, we get all these people that want to come up and buy land and put a business up there. So we're going to plop down a wedding venue right in the middle of all those homes that are built right there. Myself, Dane, who can't speak, all the people down Huffsmith, the people down Zion, you're going to plop that business right down in the middle of us. So I don't see how that can be very good for the homeowners. I also look again at the flooding. As I told you, my property's gone into the 100-year floodplain from the 500-year. Where's the water going to go off this thing? And you put parking lots in, and I don't want to hear about retention ponds. We just heard the city managers say they don't work, and they don't work. So I just want to put in my opposition, and I know that Mr. Hogan is saying he's willing to work with the homeowners. That's great as long as he owns it. There's no guarantee that 3 years from now he's going to own it, that he won't sell it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. If you'd state your name and address, please.
My name is Daniel Rodano, 12125 Zion Road, Tomball. I've lived in this area for a long time. I've owned the property that this man purchased for a while, and I own the property next to it. I own Cornerstone Electric. I've owned it before any of these people ever lived there. I also owned and sold the property that Mr. Garcia just bought. I'm very particular at who buys the property. My home is on Zion Road. My business is on the other side. I have the most vested interest out of all of these people. I border and neighbor this property more than anybody. My entire boundary is on the side of this thing. Before I ever sold it, I had many offers on that piece of land before I put it up for sale. I had many offers. I turned down many of them. Many of them. I don't need the money to buy this. I didn't need the money to sell this property. This property has been for sale probably for 10 years. It was zoned commercial when the city first went to commercial. So this isn't even an issue. This isn't even an issue. I don't even know why we're discussing this. He could put that venue right there on the road if he wanted to, and they can't do anything about it. Zoned commercial from the date that zoning went into effect in this town. That's not even an issue. They're talking about one little piece that he's going to do retention on, fountains, places to take pictures. I don't know what the problem is. I really don't even understand what they're arguing about. Another thing they're talking about, he may not own that in 3 years, you're right. But we also have in the contract that I built with him a provision in there that if he was foreclosed on, if he sold the property, if anything, he could only sell it to a certain type of business. I built that in there because I live there and I own my house and everything else around it. And I made sure that nothing else could be put in there that was detrimental to the neighbors or anybody else in that area. That area has got a lot of problems, and if you people don't acknowledge that, there's something wrong with this board. Snook Lane, Stanley, all that area is horrible. This man is going to put something on there that's going to build nothing but value to that area. He's going to build that and bring revenue to this town. Tax revenue and more things than we've ever had in that area. It's nothing but a benefit. I don't know why there would be anybody that would be against this. I could have sold this to anybody. I could have sold it to somebody. There was a junkyard with the zoning that we had there. I could have sold anybody that had a car lot, a gas station. We have provisions on there. You can't even put gas pumps on there. Nothing. That's all I have to say. I think that it's a great opportunity for this town, and he's going to be a great neighbor.
Thank you
very much.
May I speak again?
Is there anybody else is there anybody else who would like to speak? Okay. The public hearing for zoning case P17-0062 is now closed. The time is now 7:18. Wait, 0059. Sorry, looking at the wrong one. Yes, sir. Would you like to come up and address the comments, please? As the applicant, you're entitled to.
Mr. Garcia talked about maybe an acre buffer in the back. I would be open to. The reason I'm putting the building so far in the back, in the middle there is a big, large group of nice trees, and I'm trying to save the trees. Mm-hmm. I could move it up some, so an acre buffer in the back, if that would help ease his conscience, we probably could make that work. I just wanted to you to know that.
All right. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve zoning case P17-0059?
Move to approve the zoning case?
With the conditions?
With conditions as staff recommends.
Second.
Thank you. Okay, is there any discussion?
I have some points. You want to go ahead?
I have one. Why is it necessary for him to have a single family estate in the back?
That's how zoning was adopted back in 2008. Just kind of cuts his property. I believe it also cuts your property, Mr. Rodano. It's just the way that zoning was adopted back in 2008. You can see it here.
Okay. So the property we're talking about is the property that is zoned residential.
Okay.
At the back, it's 2.5 acres, I believe.
Thank you.
The one in front is all commercial, so, and he bought both.
It's all one property.
It's all one.
Zoning, yeah, zoning.
Just happened to cut it off.
Seven districts bisected.
I'm just curious as to how that happened, but thank you.
That was back several years ago. All right, are there, yes.
So the question that I have, and it might just be interpretation, and it might be a simple answer, but if the entire property was going to be used for that use, right, does it, can you have a piece of the property that's commercial and then it's all part of one project, right? The boundary is the whole thing. Can you have the back piece be?
Does the whole piece need to be zoned?
The point I'm trying to make is, yeah, let's say you had detention, right? You got to locate your detention somewhere. Do you locate the detention in the back of the property, and then you say, okay, that's not a commercial use, and then you have the commercial uses up on the front, or is it treated as one whole project around the whole boundary? Do you kind of?
Yeah, it's all one property, so it's all one project site, yes. And what we've determined is no portion of the development can be in that back 2 to 2.5 acres without the CUP approval.
Okay. Okay, so the question is that if this venue moves forward, it moves forward in what's the red area, the commercial area?
Right, if the conditional use permit gets denied.
Not a detention pond?
Unless the CUP is granted. Yes.
Okay,
right.
Okay, correct, yeah.
If the council has any questions for Mr. Rodano, we can hear from him.
Do y'all have any questions for Mr. Rodano?
Clarification, may I state one thing?
Please step forward to the podium.
Yes. First of all, this meeting was for 2.5 acres. I've owned this track for years. I own the track next to it. The track was a total of 15.64 acres. When they did zoning, they just arbitrarily drew a line in the middle, and they said this part is commercial, this part is a state residential. First of all, it's not 2.5 acres, it's 1.62 acres, exactly. I've had it surveyed a million times. What the problem is, if you had 2.5, if it was 15.2 acres and it was a rectangle, it would be, if you cut it in the middle, it would be 2.5 acres left over. Rodney Pazinski on the left side there is 2 acres. Mr. Garcia on the right side is 3 acres. That's a total of 5. So they're saying 2.5 because there's 7.5 acres. But if you look at the bias on East Toughsmith, that radius makes the property larger on the south side than the north side, if you cut it that way. It's not a rectangle. If it was a rectangle, you would draw the line completely across. But he actually only has 1.6 acres we're talking about that's not commercial. Not 2.5 acres. 1.6 acres. That's all it is.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that correct?
What we did is a rough estimate. It's when we did the measurement on our system, we got like 2 to 2.5 acres.
Okay.
I think we advertised for 2.5 just to be sure.
Okay.
We covered everything.
Thank you. Okay. I have a question. I'm concerned about the way all this is laid out, but I'm really concerned about the flooding in the area, because to be really honest, that property, a lot of that land floods back in there. And I know my daughter used to live on Zion, and it gets kind of deep back there. I'm wondering how this development will impact the flooding in the area. Will he have to have a detention pond?
Yes, I'm not an engineer, but yes. I'm going to let Craig or Beth, our engineers, discuss that.
Yes, they're required to have detention on site. Any site development in the city is required to have detention unless they participate in regional detention.
Mm-hmm.
The regional detention is not really available there unless
right.
they were able to get to the Harris County Flood Control District ditch.
Mm-hmm.
But even still, they would need to have on-site detention.
So how big would it have to be?
I would have to run calculations. Their engineer should design that.
Give me just some kind of idea.
I can tell you, ma'am. It's either from a half an acre to an acre.
Thank you.
It's 0.55 acre feet per acre. So how many acres do you have out there total?
9.78.
So 9.7 times 0.55, so... Essentially 5.3 acre feet. So look at it as a
it's
acre
a volume.
Surface area, 5 feet deep.
So. An acre?
An acre.
If it's an acre, the pond would be 5 feet.
Footprint.
Deep. So it has to do with the depth of the pond. So if it was an acre footprint, it would be 5 feet deep. If it was a 2.5 feet deep, then it would have to be 2 acres in size, surface area.
So you're looking
so
at
so essentially that whole piece of property could become a detention pond?
Depends how they design it.
Well, depending on how it's designed.
Yeah. I mean, if they want to...
Because if you want a smaller footprint, you go deeper.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. You do go deeper.
I'd just like to share just a couple of thoughts before before I take action on this. So I have a sensitivity, I guess, towards the state properties. I think that people that are living in that zoning have something a little bit special. It's not a regular development type lot. It's a little bit bigger. And I think when I think of venues and I think about, you know, if this was somebody's barn in the back and they did a party once a year or something, right? But when you look at it and you think about the venue going Friday night, Saturday night, and then it's rinse and repeat the next week, Friday night, Saturday night. Just the way that the conditional use permit has been presented, at least, I think that in the site plan that we saw with those venues, which those are the magnet piece of the venue, right? Mm-hmm. Being located back in that area, and that's what we're being asked to approve tonight, is a little bit concerning. It does, moving it up, and then as the applicant had stated, you know, moving it up and having less of that impact on the back, I mean, you know, that's a couple hundred feet, but a couple hundred feet for noise and that sort of stuff matters. And so I just wanted to state a couple of those things tonight. And as I'm evaluating this conditional use permit as it's presented to us today, those are some concerns. And so I think it seemed like there was some willingness between the applicant to accommodate some of those things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a little bit more in the interest of protecting that estate lot, mm-hmm. from my view.
Mm-hmm. I do want to add, the commission can add other conditions on this approval, greater setbacks if the applicant, you know, already stated that he's willing to do that. That's mm-hmm. something that we can look into as well.
Okay.
As far as adding another condition.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Harrison, do you have anything else?
No, ma'am.
For me, the biggest concern that I have is essentially what everybody else has, but I'm really concerned about the noise and the flooding. And as you can see, the applicant is willing, he said, to work with them and all. So what conditions would you want to put on CUP additionally?
Some things that I would see that would soften it some would be to not have the commercial venues within that designated area. As I'm looking up on the site plan, I see, you know, several land uses that are not necessarily noise. I mean, there's some green space. There's quite a bit of green space. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially kind of down there along the front edge and some of that area.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just a couple of things that I see. But I do think it would be... I hate to necessarily make recommendations on conditional use permits. I like to sort of review what the applicant is asking for, and that's how I like to vote on it. I like to kind of hear what it is, and then we're looking at it, rather than us trying to negotiate it on behalf of people and their application.
However, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you totally. However, if we're going to issue a conditional use permit, we have to put the conditions in the permit, and then they go with the property. Otherwise, he's still free to do whatever he would like to do. Whether, you know. So if we want to, it's a safety net for whoever is CUP, mm-hmm. is in their area or on their property or that's around the area. Do you have any comments, Richard?
I think realize what you're saying is maybe a greater setback on the mm-hmm. on the back end of the property as part of the CUP, mm-hmm. as part of our proposal.
Would you see the setback as being just that area that's in the, you know, maybe having the music venues and those sorts of things being outside of that, that the tan zoning, the 20E? Well, or are you thinking setback like 100 feet, 50 feet?
I'm thinking about that. About 100 feet, because basically what he's done is he's built a home and a barn on the single family estate on the rear of the property. And
the bigger building up there, isn't that the event hall?
Yes.
Yes, the main event hall.
A
10,000 square foot is up there. Well, essentially, yeah. Yes, you're essentially. Right. It's a home and a barn.
A home and a barn in the residential portion mm-hmm. of that property, and he could do that and build a junkyard on the front side.
That's true. You're right.
And to me, he's built a home and a barn on the residential part of the property, and that's what he's proposing mm-hmm. in the CUP. Mm-hmm. He's going to commercialize it. I understand about the noise. I think a greater setback. A proposal from us for a greater setback will eliminate some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. He's already agreed to do that.
Right.
And my thoughts are somebody's going to build something there.
Yes. And the contract does have supposed things written into it. So.
Exactly. And the CUP is there to protect that business. Once he sells that business, that CUP goes away.
No, it goes with the property.
But they couldn't build.
If we put the buffer in place, they could not build on it.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Correct.
Yes.
And just as a point of information, this rear yard setback here is 60 feet. So this concept plan, I can see how it can be a little misleading. It's obviously not to any kind of scale, but
right.
I can't imagine this. I believe this is a bride suite. I can't imagine it being 60 feet. It's just a concept plan. It's mm-hmm. just an idea. It's not what was submitted for us to approve as far as
right.
requirements. But, you know, this rear yard setback is 60 feet already. So if we're proposing 100, it's a pretty decent buffer, especially with the other three conditions that were recommended as well.
Uh-huh. Would it be okay to have the applicant come back up and kind of, after he's kind of heard some of this, and give us his feedback on what, would that be okay?
Yes, if you like. Would the applicant please come forward?
I think the...
Thank you, Mr. Hogan.
The question you're asking is why is I put it so far back? Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of requirements. First of all, you have to have parking spaces, you know. So I'm trying to keep the property as beautiful as I can, so I wanted a nice entrance. But really, I'll show you this. This helps out a little bit because we made these after Amelia asked for these buffers. And so we put the trees and the buffers in there. But there's a section of trees that I was trying to save, and mm-hmm. I'll just have to,
there's middle property.
Have to move them or get rid of them.
Did you put your driveway in front of them?
We moved the storage area after I talked to Amelia.
Thank you.
That was in that section. And then we put the trees and the buffer. Okay. But I could pull it closer.
But this section right here is some real big trees right there. Mm-hmm. And so just with all the
requirements between, you have to have a certain amount of parking for how many people are attending there and things like that, with trying to keep the property still looking beautiful.
Is this a walkway or a driveway that's here?
That is a driveway.
Okay. If you moved everything forward and put the driveway in front of the trees.
We just have to move that up, and maybe it's right. Some of it would still be on that part, but it would be up farther. We could, what would really be nice, if you let me move that up and still keep that little cottage back there. It's a 1,000-square-foot cottage where the brides get ready during the daytime. Nobody would be there at night. It's just like a little home. And then we'll put the big retention pond. You talked about flooding. I'm working with a civil engineer because it's everything drains towards the back corner to Rodney and Mr. Sumner's property. That's where it drains. For us to be able to drain it properly, we're either going to have to raise the property 5 feet, because there's 5 feet from Hustmith to down, it goes down. We're either going to raise that property, or I'd have to get with one of the homeowners on the Zion Road and pay them a fee for an easement to put a water drain under to drain into the Zion ditch, so I wouldn't have to raise the property. Mm-hmm. But that would get rid of all the flooding that's in that northwest corner on Rodney's property. I think you would ask him when he gets a lot of rain, his back portion of the property floods, because I seen there's like a 30-foot section where he doesn't cut there, and it probably floods there. That would eliminate all that flooding by putting that pipe in there.
And Rodney's is his the house that's in the trees, basically?
It's right along the west corner there. Yeah, there's three lots. There's Mr. Garcia's in the middle, Rodney's on the one. And
you live right
2 acres northwest corner of that property.
Gotcha.
The whole 15.64 acre, right? It's the northwest corner of that property.
Got it.
Do you have any other questions?
So let me hear. What you're saying is that it is possible to move those properties or those two buildings and those structures south. You were asking to keep the wedding chapel piece to the north of
just
it?
Just the cottage.
Just the cottage. Just the cottage in that north piece. And you could reconfigure your site plan to, you could put some other uses and green space, trees, whatever, but those higher impact and the noise and those sorts of things would move into the commercial.
Well, hopefully you'd let me maybe leave a little bit, the back part of it, but not move it so far. I don't know how much I can move up just without taking all them trees, but if I have to, I have to.
See, anything we move affects something else. I think he's done a pretty good job of describing what he wants to do.
Yeah.
So how large a buffer would you want from the back?
Well, so thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. I'm sorry, but we're past that point.
So I think what we ought to do is look at some language, if you will, to sort of craft the conditional use pieces. And so based on some of the things that I heard tonight, taking those higher impact uses and moving those, let's call it south of that line, and allowing some of the more residential uses, like with the cottage and primarily housing stuff, staying north.
Let me understand. I'm sorry, she was asking what all we could do. Finish your thoughts.
Well, because I as part of the conditions, we're trying to look and see what conditions we can spell out, right?
Correct.
So if it's a footage, just a straight buffer as footage, or if it's based on the zoning piece, that's what I'm trying to understand. And maybe what we do is we just say, what is that distance? Do we know what that distance is from, is that 500 feet, 200 feet, that SF20?
The length that zoned SF20?
Yeah, from your red to the That's it. The back.
We'd have to measure it on GIS.
From Zion or from Huffman?
No, from the north property line.
Oh.
It's going to take a few minutes for GIS to launch wirelessly, but I can get you pretty close dimension. You're trying to find the dimension from the north property line to the edge of the commercial district? It may take a while. But I can try to answer.
And what is your thought there to have that?
To say 200 feet buffer? Or whatever the foot.
About 160.
160.
What it is.
Well, if you're going to require that to be a buffer, then you know, there's probably not a point to having the conditional use permit.
Well, and he's asking
really just,
for
that
some.
That really just pushes everything down in
right.
the commercial track.
Right.
Which, I mean, you know. Effectively what you do if you deny the CUP.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a lot easier to enforce if you did it in terms of a setback from the,
yeah,
the north property line as opposed to regulating a particular type of use in that.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably
like
right.
State
yeah.
district.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just,
I do.
So if we do a setback from the rear.
So to the extent, yeah, to the extent there's a 60-foot setback required already, to the extent that you want to increase that, you can certainly address that in the condition.
So you originally suggested a 100-foot setback?
I threw it out earlier.
Right.
Yes.
Could you live with that?
Should we ask the applicant if he's okay with that too? But I
that's our decision.
Yeah. I think so.
It's about 200, this is GIS, I'm quoting you on, but we measured about 242 feet from the southern boundary of that single family 20 district to the north property line. It's not survey grade distance.
Gotcha.
242 feet.
Is that from the north part of that property line to the commercial?
Just the, aren't you taking consideration of the, just the yellow
yeah,
box
from
on
here
there.
To here.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's 240 plus feet.
But again, that box is incorrect, ma'am.
I understand that.
And
the box is narrower.
So if you had a 100-foot setback, you'd dot that down to 142 feet, roughly.
Yeah.
So we already have a 60-foot.
There's already a 60-foot there, so you've got only about 180.
But it says landscape buffering on all sides shall not be less than 20 feet.
Right. That's one of the conditions.
Right.
The landscape buffer.
Right.
Right.
The landscape buffer is for nothing can go in those.
Right.
The setback
yes.
is for structures.
For
so
structure.
Detention can go in there. Parking
right.
can go in there. Just
and
to
the
clarify
setback,
the difference.
Okay.
The setback is obviously not part of the conditions because it's part of the SF20 zone.
Right. I got that.
Okay.
So.
Do you want to amend your motion?
Do you want to amend the motion?
For a 100-foot setback.
Yeah, we can do that.
See, if we give him a setback, then he can actually put the pond in it or whatever else. He can still utilize it.
Yeah, it's just for structures.
Okay, he cannot put any structures back there.
Correct.
Okay. Does that work?
So you make that amendment to 100-foot setback from the north.
Okay.
In addition to, just to clarify.
In addition to.
In addition to.
Three contingencies.
In addition to the other conditions
okay.
as well.
Yes. Thank you.
And
yes.
it's not in addition to the existing 60-foot setback.
Right,
it's 100
right.
total.
Right.
Correct.
That's my understanding.
And you second your amendment second?
Right. Yes.
Okay. Do you have that, Amelia?
From the
yes.
north property line southwards.
Yes.
100-foot
setback. 100-foot
setback. Nothing on the sides.
What
did it show? It showed.
It's still 60 on the sides.
It's 60
right?
on the sides, isn't it already?
It actually depends. It's based on a ratio of. It's based on a ratio of 5 feet in horizontal setback for every 3 feet of building height with a minimum of 25. I think the barn's going to be two stories, so we're looking at maybe a 45 to 50 foot setback. It just depends
okay.
on how high, on how tall the
right.
structure is.
Okay.
But pretty hefty setbacks.
So if we do a 100 foot setback from the back, do you want that from the side? That takes up the whole property. So
yeah,
you want,
would they, we're just
it would be 60.
That's 200.
We're just squeezing him out.
I know. So what do you want to...
So I think both the property owners here that testified against this live at the back.
I think so.
One lives to the side.
One of the sides.
One lives to the side, one lives to the rear.
And the other one didn't talk.
Pardon?
I said the other one didn't talk.
Yeah, I know. Okay. How big a setback do you want to put on the sides?
Just, I want to stay with the 100-foot setback from the rear.
From the rear?
From the rear.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Hello. So, do you have the amended motion?
I think we have it, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, restating the motion is to approve with the adding the 100-foot setback
from the rear of the property.
From the rear,
yes.
And with the conditional conditions recommended by staff, the three. Anything else? Okay. Screening fence, not recommended. Okay. All right. Now I gotta find my house. You guys got me lost. All righty.
That's why you got the job.
Pardon?
That's why you got the job.
I know. I figured that much. Thank you. So, all righty. Is there any other discussion or anything? Okay. Hearing none, please enter your vote now.
I'm hitting abstain for you, Dane. Just so
thank you.
Pardon?
I'm hitting abstain for Dane.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Okay. I have a real hard time with this.
Motion fails.
Motion fails.
It what?
Fails.
How can it fail? It's 1-2.
We need three affirmative. We need three affirmative votes.
Yeah, let council.
So now it moves to the city council, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Doesn't have to have a favorable recommendation. It just has
yeah,
to have,
it just has to have a recommendation.
It has to have a recommendation.
Okay. 5.9, consideration approved zoning case P17-0062, request by the